Welcome to Essex. It's great to be here with you today, West Kirby URC. Thank you for inviting me to come and speak to you. My name is Jeff Felton. I'm minister of Plume Avenue Church in Colchester. I'm a Wirral lad, born and bred. I was raised in Bevington on the Wirral. I'm a lifelong Tranmere Rovers supporter as well, so it's great to be with you. I thought I'd come here today and speak to you from Mersey Island in Essex, which is just down the road from where I live, for a couple of reasons. Firstly, well, it's called Mersey, isn't it? And where you are is Merseyside. We spell it S-E-A, so excuse us for the spelling down here, slightly different. But then also, I don't know if you can see behind me, these amazing, beautiful, multicoloured beach huts that we've got here on Mersey Island. They're absolutely fantastic. And I kind of think that may give a bit of a background to what I'm going to be speaking about today, because Louise has asked me to join in the series with you about finding Jesus in the Old Testament. And the character that she's given me today liked his colours, these multicoloured beach huts. He didn't have a beach hut, but he did have a multicoloured coat. And I just wonder if you can guess who that is. Louise has asked me to speak today on the character of Joseph and how we find Jesus in the story of Joseph. And there's kind of all kinds of ways that we find him in the story of Joseph. So we're going to think a little bit about that. I've got a number of things I want to share with you around it. And then at the end, I'm going to ask the big question, so what? You know, what difference does it make with these things that we find, the similarities that we have in the story of Joseph? And with all that Jesus did as well. So let's crack on and let's have a think. Now, I don't know if you know the story of Joseph. It's one of those stories, I think, that I'm fairly safe to say most people know it these days. Not necessarily because you've got excellent Bible knowledge at West Kirby URC, which you probably have, but partly because you know the musical as well. So people know the story from the musical with all the kind of the things that there were in that. But also, the musical reflects largely the biblical text, apart from the fact that Pharaoh wasn't really Elvis Presley and a few other bits and pieces like that. So what can we say about Joseph? Well, my temptation with the story of Joseph is to jump to the end of it, to Genesis chapter 50 and verses 20 and 21, where it says, Joseph meets his brothers. It's towards the end of the story. He's forgiven them, they've come back to Egypt, and he says to them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. That's in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 21. And you know, the problem with that is if we jump to that bit, we kind of miss out on the rest of the story. A number of years ago, me and my family went on holiday. We had a holiday of a lifetime. We went to New York. We flew from Manchester to Dublin, and then from Dublin through to New York. And you know, my three boys were so excited the whole way, you know, from getting the taxi to the airport, from getting the bags out to checking the bags in, to going through security, through sitting on the aeroplane and discovering that yes, they had a TV screen in front of them and that they could plug in their phones and charge their phones on the aeroplane while they actually flew. It was all absolutely amazing. Me, on the other hand, I just wanted to get there. I just wanted to be in the city that I'd always dreamt of visiting, and have a look around and see the sights and all that kind of thing. But on reflection, thinking about that, I missed out on so much, because that process of getting in the taxi, in the plane, flying in the plane, getting over the Atlantic Ocean, that was all a part of the holiday, and I was wanting to jump ahead and get to New York City. And it's a little bit like that with the story of Joseph. If we jump ahead and we want to get to the end where he says, you know, you intended it for harm, but God intended it for good, then we miss out on so much. So let's think a little bit then about the story of Joseph. And more importantly, what are the parallels between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus? Well, the first thing that we can say is that in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 14, Joseph is sent by his father to go and find his brothers who were kind of in the field somewhere and lost. So Joseph's father, Jacob, sends him to find those that are lost for his brothers. And you know, there's an immediate parallel there, isn't there, between The sending of Jesus Christ into the world by the Father to seek and save the lost, as there is with Joseph being sent to find his brothers and seek them out. So that's the first one. Both Joseph and Jesus were both sent by their fathers. Secondly, and this is a real one of the real tragedies, is that both Jesus and Joseph were rejected and betrayed. Jesus, we know, was betrayed by Judas for some silver. Joseph too was sold for silver as well. And in chapter 37, verse 28, we read that Joseph is basically trafficked over to Egypt. He's sold by his brothers into slavery, and he's rejected by his brothers. And there's a parallel there, distinct parallel, with the person of Jesus Christ. So they were both sent by their father, but they were also both rejected and betrayed as well. And then as we move on in the story of Joseph, later in chapter 37, we read there that he was sold to a guy called Potiphar, and he became a slave in Potiphar's household. He was honored in the household, he did a good job, but Potiphar's wife was a bit of a one, if you know what I mean, and she was trying to have her way with Joseph. She was trying to tempt him into sleeping with her, and Joseph was like, no way, Jose, you know, I'm not doing that. He was trying to maintain his honor and to respect his owner as well at the time, but she was tempting him to do things that he shouldn't have done. And we know as well, don't we, that in Jesus's life he was tempted as well. He went into the wilderness for 40 days and he was tempted by Satan to basically reject everything that he'd come for. So both Joseph and Jesus were tempted to turn their back on their lives and on the task that they were called to do. Then the next thing, so because Joseph was maintaining his dignity and refusing to sleep with Potiphar's wife, she accused him falsely. She accused him of trying to rape her and have his way with her, and he was basically thrown into jail. And again, there's the obvious parallel between both Joseph and Jesus, that they were both accused falsely. They both had accusations made about them, and they were both tried unjustly and found unjustly to be guilty. So fifthly, what's the next thing? You know, I don't know if you remember the story of Jesus on Good Friday when he was crucified. He was crucified at Golgotha, just outside the city gates in Jerusalem. And to his left and to his right, there were two criminals, both of them crucified with him. And one of them turned to Jesus and said, you know, remember me this day when you go to paradise. So Jesus wasn't crucified on his own. He wasn't condemned on his own. And the same happens with Joseph. In Joseph's life, when he went to prison, he was condemned with two other people as well. He was condemned with the cupbearer to the king, but also he was condemned with the baker as well. And one of them, things turned out well for, and the other one was rejected and was turned away. And so that again, there's another parallel there, isn't there, between the life of Jesus and the life of Joseph, that not only were they falsely accused, rejected and tried, but they were condemned with two other criminals as well with them. So the parallels here, do you see what's going on here? There's so much in the life of Joseph that parallels the person of Jesus Christ and what he did. But there's even more. You know, it doesn't end there with these criminals, because in Genesis chapter 43 and verse 28, we read there that Joseph was raised up. Eventually he left prison and he was promoted in the Egyptian courts, and he became the number two in charge over the whole of Egypt. So not only was he condemned and justly unjustly accused, but he was then raised up as well. And that's true with the life of Jesus, that although he was condemned, although he died on the cross, the Bible goes on to tell us that he defeated death, and on the third day he rose again. And there's a book in the New Testament called Philippians in chapter 2. It says that he was raised up, and that so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so Jesus was raised up over all things, over all of creation. Joseph was only raised up over Egypt. So you could say I'm stretching a point there maybe, but I think that that story shows a distinct parallel between their kind of going down into the depths of despair, Joseph to prison, Jesus to death, and then being raised up once again. So they were both exalted. And then in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5, Joseph says to his brothers, when his brothers come back, so they've rejected him, they've sold him into slavery, years have gone by, Joseph has been raised up and put into power. There's a famine in the land, we read, and Joseph's brothers all come to Egypt because they came looking for food. Joseph realizes it's their brothers, but they don't recognize him because time has gone on and they basically thought that he was dead. But then he reveals himself to his brothers, and he says to his brothers that God has sent Joseph ahead of his brothers in order to save lives, in order to save lives. So effectively, what's happening here is that Joseph is becoming a savior. He's becoming a savior. And you know, I don't have to tell you the parallels here, do I? That Jesus Christ, we believe, is the savior of the world, that he died that we might live, that he died as a sinless person, but death couldn't hold him. He rose again, and he is the savior of the world. So there's another parallel there. In in chapter 45, again, in verses 14 to 15, Joseph forgives his brothers. He forgives them for what they've done. They've basically sold him into slavery, abandoned him, and then spent their whole lives lying to their father about Joseph's destiny. And yet, Joseph forgives them. And you know, this is the wonderful thing with Jesus Christ, that he wants to forgive you and me. You know, we may look at our lives, we may think, do you know, there's not a lot of good in my life. You know, there's a lot of stuff I've done in my life that I'm ashamed of. That is not good. Jesus wouldn't want to forgive me. But believe you me, he does. He wants to forgive you because he loves you so much. Whatever you've done, whatever your past is, Jesus Christ wants to forgive you if you would turn to him and offer yourselves to him and make him Lord of your life. So they're both, in a strange kind of way, saviors. But you know, I think there's a sense here that it goes beyond that. It goes beyond this sense of forgiveness. It goes to a sense of restoration. So not only does Joseph forgive his brothers, but he restores them as well. And then in Genesis chapter 47, what goes on there is Joseph says, I forgive you, and I'm going to give you land, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to set you back up, and you're going to live despite your past. You're going to move on from that, and you're going to have a great future. And so Joseph not only forgives his brothers, but he restores them as well. And this is the same, I believe, with Jesus Christ. Yes, he wants to forgive us, but he also wants to restore us. He doesn't want us to be bound by the past, bound by the things that have chained us in the past. He wants to restore us. And when we come into a relationship with him, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that we have the right to be called children of God. So do you know that you're a child of God today? That your identity is not in the things that you buy or what your friends tell you or anything like that, but your identity, if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, fundamentally is as a child of God. And Jesus wants to restore your life. He wants to help you to move on and to move ahead, not just to live in forgiveness, as good as that is and as amazing as that is, but he wants to restore you to be the person that you're called to be. And I believe passionately that each one of us is called to live in relationship with God. And until we discover that, we'll sense in our lives that there's something missing, that we're not fulfilled, that there's something that we've not quite got right. In Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, it tells us that God has set eternity in the hearts of people. And you know, when we come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, what goes on there is that we're restored to be the people that we're called to be. So the question that we have to ask now here in Essex, in front of these beech huts, is so what? so what that Joseph did all this and has parallels with Jesus? That's all great in theory, isn't it? It's a great theoretical idea. But what difference does that make to people sat here today in West Kirby going about their business up in the northwest? What difference does that make? Well, firstly, I think it's really important to realise that in our lives, whatever is going on, whatever the circumstances are going on in our lives, that God is at work through these circumstances to bring about salvation. So through this story of Joseph, what we discover is that Joseph's life wasn't all just one big party, one big celebration. He hit the depths of despair when he was sold into slavery. I don't think he'd have been happy at all. When he was put into prison, when he was falsely accused, that was rock bottom there as well. And then things started to pick up. But through all of that, through all of life's situations, God was at work to bring about salvation. And in Genesis chapter 50, the reading that I read out right at the beginning, before I told you the story of New York, we read, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So God is at work through the circumstances we face to bring about salvation. And then secondly, there's a lesson here about Joseph's faithfulness and his perseverance. Through all that went on, nowhere in there does Joseph accuse God or walk away from God. He remained faithful to God throughout that story. Now, I've got no doubt at some point in Joseph's life, he would have said, "What's going on, God? Where are you? Why is all this happening?" You may well ask that question yourself. Where are you, God, in all this? I'm sure Joseph would have asked that question. I don't think you can find it in the text, but he's a human being, isn't he? And he asks these questions. He wasn't perfect, but he remained faithful to God. And so West Kirby URC and anyone else who's listening in here today, I want to encourage you to realise that whatever circumstances you may be facing at the moment, that God is at work through those circumstances to bring others to salvation. And then I want to encourage you as well that if you're facing difficult times, if your life has taken a dip, which for so many people it has at the moment, remain faithful, keep on, and keep your eyes fixed on God, because the God that we worship is faithful and true. And when he starts a work in us, he brings it through to completion. And that's exactly what he did with Joseph. So God bless you. Thank you so much for inviting me to be with you today. I hope you have a wonderful time during this series, and I'll see you soon. God bless.